Our text today is going to be in chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. And in this text, it talks about working with the Lord, letting Him lead us, letting Him shape us, letting Him affect our will. Because, you know, it's so easy to go about and just try to do religion, try to be a Christian, and you go through all the motions. And you know, there are some people that do that quite well. They're very good at mimicking when they don't hear any music. It'd be like if you had two people here on two stools, both had iPods, one was deaf, and the other could actually hear. And so they would turn on the iPods at the same time, and the one who could hear would just be listening to the music and just kind of making motions, trying to communicate the beat and all. Well, the person sitting next to him who is deaf would look over and just try to imitate, but he's not hearing any music. And that's so often many who have taken upon themselves to be religious, but there's no song in their heart. They don't hear any music because their ears haven't been opened yet by the Holy Spirit. I was one of those people. I grew up in a denominational church, and it was all the emphasis was upon being a good person like Jesus, and it'll be all right. You know, it's kind of a Santa Claus religion. You know, he's making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's not your nice. And, you know, your good works better outweigh your bad works or you don't have a chance. But yet, when you look at the Bible, you find that the message is so different. The message is one of what God has done for us rather than what we're doing for God. And in this section, there is a verse that stands out to me that really, what came to my heart was a dance where the Lord was the leader and I was the follower. You know, I'm not real good at dancing. I don't dance well. And unfortunately, my wife has been a dancer from the time she was a little kid. That's because she was so hyper, her mom had to find something for her to do. And so, you know, the mom and dad watched Lawrence Welk back in the 50s. And so, guess what? We've talked about it, it's okay. We're not going to have a fight afterwards. And so, you know, they entered her into tap dance lessons to try to get some of this energy out. And along with that, there's the playing of the accordion, you know, the whole Lawrence Welk little mystique. And so, And so she'd go on the back patio and just tap her heart out, getting all of her energy out. Well, that began as she was little, and then she got very good at it, and then she went into, you know, modern dance and jazz. And when I met her in high school, she was a member of the dance team in high school. Now, I grew up, we grew up in a small town in Oregon called Hillsboro. It's no longer small, but that's where we met, was in high school. And you know, I was tall and lanky and uncoordinated, and so I decided I'll just play in a rock band and let everybody else dance. And so I played bass, and you know, all the tall, skinny guys play bass. And so then I met her, and, you know, we started going together. But I never could get it down, really. And then as I'm going to work out on the bicycle there at the gym close to our house, there's this big area where they do aerobics and things like that. But early in the morning, there is this 75-year-old lady who is taking dance lessons from this 35-year-old fella. And she's wearing high heels. And so, you know, I'm watching this. Because what do you do for 30 minutes, you know? You don't want to. So anyway, I'm watching this, and over the months, I'm watching her progress and be very gracious on high heels on a wood floor. And I'm thinking, man, if she falls, it's over. Call the paramedics, you know. But as I watch them move, I see her learn to be led. Because, you know, you ladies know that when you dance, the man has to lead and the woman has to follow. If the woman tries to lead, then there's going to be a lot of toes that are stepped on, and it's not going to be a very fun experience. But in this text here, we see a divine dance take place where the master is the leader. God is the one who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And our part is to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So we're going to talk about that this morning, and as well as some other parts of our text. But let's take a look at this section, verses 12 to 18. Just follow along with me here, and then we'll start with prayer. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Father in heaven, minister to us from our text this morning. Speak to our hearts individually, because you alone know what's going on in the secret places of our life and how you desire to work in us and through us to draw us closer to yourself. So minister to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We see Paul starts here in verse 12 with the word therefore. Therefore, my beloved. You know, this church in Philippi was not a large church. It was a small church. It had been 11 years since Paul first went there from the time that he wrote this letter, 11 years earlier. Now, we can think back to where we were 11 years ago, and it seems like it wasn't that long. And yet, as Paul writes this, he's been in prison for 2 years. He's writing this letter to encourage them. They had sent someone with a care package to him in prison. And he was so blessed. And the fella, whose name was Epaphroditus, that you see in an earlier, or just after this, he brought this care package. He brought the news of all that was going on there in the fellowship. And you know, out of all the churches, the brethren in Philippi just seemed to be so close to Paul's heart. He loved them so deeply. And you see that as you read through the letter. He calls them my brethren, my beloved, my joy, my crown. He's chained to a Roman soldier. He's writing this, and he's thinking about how blessed it was to be in their midst. Just the refreshing of being amongst those Christians. Now, I don't know about you, but I have worked on jobs at times that were so much of a challenge to my faith. The language that's used, the stories that are said, the whole atmosphere of the workplace just almost brought me to the end of myself, and I couldn't wait to go into the sanctuary of the Lord on Sunday and just be refreshed, just be in the middle of other believers where I don't have to be on my guard. I don't have to, just kind of pray for my own, you know, self to, you know, because I don't want to just lash out at the guy. I'm so frustrated with the guy. I can't stand it. And I just want to rip on his head, you know. And you think, chill out, Bob. It's okay. It's, you know, you're gonna leave here in 3 hours. The work's over. You can just kind of walk away. Pray for the guy, you know. And all this counsel's going on. It's a battle. But it shouldn't be a battle when you come to church. It's supposed to be grace. It's supposed to be love. It's supposed to be a time to say, Lord, just minister to me. Restore me. Refresh me. Paul says here, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, when we have an important person that comes into our midst, maybe it's at the workplace, the boss comes in, or the main supervisor of your area comes in, then everybody kind of gets to work, you know, and you just kind of do your best right here, you know. And he's in today, make the place look good. You've been in those situations, maybe. And then when he leaves, everybody goes, whew, break out the donuts, you know. So, and you know, Paul says, listen, I know you're faithful. I watch you when I'm there. But when I'm gone, when nobody's looking, be much more diligent. And you know, that's an accountability that the Lord is always there. And I live my life not before people, but I live my life first of all before the Lord. Because He sees the secret things. He sees me when I'm in my house. He sees me when I'm on the computer. He sees me when I'm in the car, when I'm driving in the midst of traffic with crazy drivers. He sees me. He's there. And so I'm to live my life with that accountability. Before God, not just before men. I need to be more diligent. He says, work out your salvation. Now, let's get clear on this. The word work out simply means to carry it out to the end, to fully complete, to live out step by step to the point of finishing what God has given to us at salvation. It doesn't mean we're saved by our work. It means we're to finish what God has started in our life. We're to work with the Lord. The Lord has a plan that He began in each of us that He wants to finish. But He needs our participation by faith. He needs us to say, Lord, do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it, wherever you want to do it. And that's vulnerable because you really have to trust that He is good and not evil. Can you have a reckless abandon to give your life to the Lord and let Him make of you and in you all that He desires? That's where the Lord wants to bring us every day of our life. And if we find a hesitancy to really let our life go to the Lord, we have to ask ourselves, what am I afraid of? What am I afraid that God's going to do to me if I really give Him all the keys? You know, all the keys. Take all the keys, God, of my life. And I let Him go and I let You do whatever You want in my life. What would you be afraid of that God might do? Send you to Africa? I know for me, when I first became a Christian, that was my biggest fear that, oh no, I've just come, you know, He's going to send me to some place I'm going to hate because if I like it, He'll never choose that. It's because I didn't know the Lord. I was getting to know Him. Don't stop halfway and quit. Work out the salvation that God has given to you in Christ by faith. Work out. Let it come to its fullness. Let God do everything He wants to do in your life. Don't be afraid of Him. God has a work for each of us to carry out to completion. But it's necessary for us to join with Him in that work He desires to do in us and through us. You know Psalm 37, it's a great psalm. Verses 4 and 5, one of the key verses of that psalm, says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Notice who brings it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. Some of you here might be single, you're not married right now, and you really desire, you know, a companion in your life and all. And I want you to consider something in Genesis chapter 2, that on that sixth day when God made Adam, He gave him a ministry. He gave him a service to do before He brought Eve to him. And it was while Adam was involved in serving the Lord that God was the one who brought Eve to him. And I'm firmly convinced that as we give our lives to the Lord and just say, you know, God, I want to use who I am, where I am, to serve You, and I want You to bring that special person to me in Your own time, in Your own way, because You know the desire of my heart. And that's so different than how we do it today. You know, it's like a rabbit hunt. You know, it's like it's so different. You know, back then, you know, parents arranged the marriage. And, you know, if you happened to be born next to another family, you know, and you and this and their kid was born at the same time, you know, you're sunk. You got to marry the other person, you know. And then you just learn to love, as they say. Well, we don't do that in this country as a rule. But it's funny, you know, I got to choose my wife, but now that, you know, I have three older sons, I can understand why parents want to arrange the marriage, you know. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling means that I don't want to do anything in my life to bring dishonor to the God that I love. And let me tell you something. Your flesh is just always under the surface, ready to take advantage of any moment, any day. It doesn't matter if you've walked with the Lord 40 years. That battle goes on every day. And you've got to keep it, you know, in check by the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5 says. But listen, every day you have to be on guard. You've got to set a Roman sentry right there to guard that gate. Because, man, I tell you, if you relax and just say, you know what, I'm going to put it on cruise control. I've walked in the Lord. I know all this. I'm going to enjoy life. Man, the enemy's right there just to go, you bet, baby. And then come right in and all of a sudden to stumble you, to trap you, and you sow into the flesh, and destruction is always the fruit when you sow to the flesh. Maybe it's out of lust. Maybe it's out of covetousness. Maybe it's out of pride. There's always a bummer on that other side if you sow to the flesh. So God's called us to put feet to our faith by joining with Him in the work. You know, He is the lead in the dance, in this divine dance, and we're to follow. We're to learn to follow the Lord. But I don't want to cause harm to the name of the Lord and cause others to really affirm in their heart that God isn't worth it. The master's part is in verse 13. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." This is God's part. I need for God to work in me. God has created me with a free will. He's created you with a free will, free moral agency you are. And yet, there's this mystery that God won't violate my free will, but He'll sure make me willing. There are times when it's hard to do what God tells me to do, especially if somebody has really, really offended me. And the Lord says, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who do evil to you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. And there are times you read the Scripture and you go, well, that's fine generally. But Lord, you know what this guy did. You know what he did. I mean, get him, Lord. Flatten his tires. In the name of Jesus, you know. But listen, God has to work on my will so that I will join with Him and then He can fill out His work. Let me tell you, there are times that I know the Lord wants to change my heart, but I don't want Him to change my heart. I don't care what He says. I'm mad at this person because of what they did, because my focus is full on the hurt that they caused. And I just want to have God bring a judgment upon the person, a righteous judgment, you know. And God calls me to forgive. And I argue with the Lord at times. I don't want to forgive. And I don't want to pray that He'd make me willing to forgive, because I know He'll do it. And if He changes my will, then I'm going to want to forgive the guy, and I don't want to forgive the guy. And so there's a point you have to come to where you're so fed up with the emptiness and the dryness of soul that you get to the point where you say, okay, God, make me willing to want to do what you want to do. Just, you know, kind of nudge me, you know, make me willing. And 100% of the time, the Holy Spirit, just with that little, just that little step, has begun to work in my heart, and work in my heart, and work in my heart. And I have found victory, a complete release over that person who has caused great offense to my life. But it takes time, and it takes humbling yourself, and it takes letting go to the Lord. And He'll do the work. I remember one time at a stoplight, there was one fellow that really caused a division in the church, and I was so mad at him, I just couldn't stand it. I tried to even write him an email, and I started off, dear this person, and then I went, drop dead. You know, no, I can't do that. Erase that. That's not Christian. You know. But I couldn't write it. I was just still so much in turmoil. And I remember going to that scripture, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Bless those who curse you, you know. I'm going, okay, God, I'm doing this by faith because I really don't feel like it. And so going through that process, I remember the intersection, the red light, 35th Avenue and Greenway in Phoenix. I'm there at the intersection, facing east, and the thought came back of this person, and I said, you know, Lord, would you please just bless him and just open his heart to you, draw him close to you, because you're the one that gives life, not anybody else. And you know what? I found real compassion for the guy in my heart. And all of a sudden I went, wow, praise God, I'm free from this. And then I thought, maybe I need to go over all that he did to me so that I can really be sure that I'm really free of this. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, don't you dare go there. Cut it off. Don't take that exit. You know, don't go there. And I went back to my office and I called the guy and I said, could we sit down and just, I know that we have our differences, but you know, we're brothers. Can we just sit down and help me understand why you feel the way you do? And so we did. We sat down. He didn't change his view. I didn't change mine. But when he walked out of my office, it was all right. And that's a victory. That's a huge victory and a huge lesson that happened in my life. It is God who works in us both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Underline good pleasure, because that's what God wants to do in your life and in my life. He wants to work out a good pleasure things that honor Him, things that bless us. But we have to be convinced that God isn't trying to beat us up. We have to be convinced that God wants to show us what He's like. Because then there's joy. And then we shine like lights out to the world. Let's go on to verse 14. And we're going to see some detrimental deeds that kind of are stumbling blocks to that dance. Verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Now circle the word all, because it leaves everything, it includes everything in your life, all things. It doesn't matter if it's something at work. It doesn't matter if it's something with your kids. It doesn't matter if it's on the highway. It doesn't matter if it's in church. Do all things without complaining. Suddenly, Paul is shifting gears, it seems, but it really has to do with things that quench what God wants to do. You know, you'd think you'd come into a Christian fellowship and everything would be great. But, you know, we're all being worked on by God. None of us are perfect. And we all have our bad days, and it may just be a bad day at church, you know. It may be that the ministry that you have, you're having some difficulty with it. Or maybe you've made some choices that seemed reasonable to you, but other people don't think it was the wisest thing to do. You know, the word complaining here, it's an interesting word in the Greek. I'm not going to go into the word itself, because none of us are Greek, you know, as a rule. I know a little Greek. He runs a deli down the street, you know. So, the word, how can I explain this? The word in the Greek sounds like the meaning of the word. It's kind of one of those things that it's an unusual way where the sound of the word in the Greek carries across its meaning. The best translation, I think, in English is the word murmur. Murmuring. When you're really, you know, they didn't handle your kids right, in the children's ministry. And they're like, I can't stand it. Why don't they just think about this, you know? And you're just kind of, it's under your breath, and you're just saying, you know, these people should know better. And you're murmuring, you know. You know what a heart murmur is. Physically, it's where things aren't working right in your heart, you know. It's kind of, whoosh, 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 whoosh. There's nothing really strong. Well, spiritually, it's the same thing with a heart murmur, where you're just ticked off. You just think, what's wrong with these people? Well, you know, why can't they? Don't they understand that? You know, if I was in charge, I'd really clean this place up. But you know, why don't they do something with this? And why do we have to do this? And why is it so hot in here? Why is it so cold in here? And you know, I look out on a Sunday morning, and I've got people fanning themselves, and I've got others wearing coats. And so the person who's in charge of the thermostat, he's an enemy to everybody. You know, it's just, you can't please everybody. And sometimes we can get into the mindset that how we do it is the best way. Because it seems reasonable to us. And after all, I'm a reasonable person. I care about other people. And if other people really were seeking the Lord, they would understand that the way I do it is probably the best way. Now, this happens sometimes in our house. When we are in the kitchen and she's cooking, I usually remove myself from the kitchen because she does things a certain way. She likes to make the salad a certain way. She likes to make, you know, the dishes a certain way. But when it's my turn to cook and she comes into the kitchen, there's some disagreements that have gone on. And so, you know, we have learned just to kind of give each other space because we do it differently. But just because we do it differently doesn't mean that it's wrong. You know, her family has a habit, and her sisters do it, and she does it, of letting our dog do a pre-wash cycle on the electric skillet after it's done. And you know, for me, this sends me up the wall. You know what a pre-wash cycle is, you know? It's... Oh, yeah. Sometimes I want to plug the skillet in, you know, when he does the pre-wash cycle. just to help him understand that I don't like that, you know. And then, you know, and then I go to, you know, her mom's place, and oh my gosh, you know, the same thing. Let the, you know, I just thought, God, I need to pray over this food. I thought it was beef stroganoff, but I'm not sure what those other things are in there, you know. You know, people do things different. But you know what? Different doesn't mean their way is wrong. And that's where grace comes in. But how we can be so ungracious, even as Christians, because we get proud of our choices and we start complaining. We start complaining because it makes it inconvenient. It makes it different. And we got to check our heart, because that's not how the Holy Spirit thinks. Man, He's working with you and He's working with me in different ways. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Disputing is the next step, because that's the outflow of the murmuring. You're murmuring in your heart, you know, and you're complaining, grumbling, and then all of a sudden, then you said, you know, I'm fed up with this. I'm going to tell them a thing or two. And then all of a sudden, here comes the big dispute. And that's why a lot of people stay away from churches, because they see the hypocrisy, because people are walking in the flesh and not in the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace that's there. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. And you know, in the second part here in verse 15, the reason why this is so important is because the Lord doesn't want us to block His light. God has put His life in us so that we can shine that life and light out to the world. Because He says here, that you may become, in verse 15, blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. They don't have the life of God. And so the reason to even put a check on these things is because there's absolutely no light out there. And God wants to let us be the beacons to draw people to Jesus. And then finally, in verse 17, we come to the last section. Paul says, I have determined to be poured out. He'd given his life for these believers, and his deep desire was to see them before the throne of God. And he wasn't sure what was going to happen to him in prison. He had a hunch he'd be getting out, but you know what? Nero was the Caesar. I mean, you couldn't be sure of anything with him. And so, you know, he realized that he could have been just a few days away from losing his life and going to be with the Lord. And so that's why he says in verse 17, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. There are times in serving the Lord where it gets really difficult. The sacrifice is high. In our country, sometimes, you know, we just don't see it, but you get out of our country and you start seeing how other believers live in the midst of their governmental structure, and for them to openly proclaim Christ is going to get them in huge, huge trouble and destroy everything in their life. Have their kids taken away from them, never to see them again. I mean, high, high sacrifice. But you know what? Why could Paul say this? If God wants me to be poured out like a drink offering, then I'm willing to do that. Because I know that my reward is in heaven, not here on earth. I'm looking to the reward in heaven. I'm not looking to the comfort here, the convenience here, the soft life here. I want to be a glory to God. Because you know what? When we all pass away and go before the Lord At that time, the only thing that's going to matter to us is how our life on earth gave honor and glory to Him. It doesn't matter what your station in life is. It doesn't matter what your house was like. It doesn't matter what your job was like, your education. All that stuff cracks off and drops off, and you as a soul are before the Lord. And the only thing that's going to matter before that glorious time is how has my life been an honor to the Lord. Now, we still have time. It doesn't matter what water has gone under the bridge and how you've blown it and how you've really made a mess of things. God wants to start today and work in your life. Maybe to do something that you never thought possible. But you'll never, never know what God wants to do until you join with Him in that divine dance and you let Him lead. Now, maybe some of you this morning, you're not even on the dance floor. You've never really opened your heart to Jesus in the first place. Maybe you're like that person that we talked about at the beginning who was deaf. And you're going through the motions, but you don't hear any music. You're just going through the motions. There's no life in you. You're going through the motions. And God wants to open your ears. God wants to heal your life. He wants to forgive you. He wants to adopt you into His family. And He wants to put His music, so to speak, in your life. But He needs you to step on the dance floor. He needs you to open your heart to Him. And as we close here, I want to give you that opportunity to do that. I'll lead you in a prayer, and you can open your heart to the Lord, surrender your life to Him, and trust Him to do His good purpose, His good pleasure in your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we read these words, we are reminded that Your plans for us are not plans of evil, but plans to give us a future and a hope. And there are times, Lord, that we question Your goodness. We question Your fairness. And sometimes we think that You don't even know we're here. But Lord, Your word is true. You can't take Your eyes off of us. Your thoughts toward us are more in number than the sands of the sea. And how You long for us to join with You in living out Your life, showing the world Your good purposes. Father God, if there's anyone here today, and they're at that point, Lord, of crossroads, and it's time to change direction in their life and to turn and repent from the way they're going and turn to You. Lord, give them courage right now and faith to believe You. As we continue to pray, if this is you this morning and you want to open your heart to the Lord to make Him your Lord and Savior, I'd like you just to repeat this prayer after me and say, God, my Father, I want to surrender my life to You this morning. There's so much I don't understand, but I do believe what the Bible says, that You love me, and You're ready to forgive all my sin. I believe Jesus is Your Son, and You sent Him from heaven to die on that cross. He bore my sin. So, Father, forgive me of all the sin of my life. Cleanse me from all that garbage. Breathe on me and make me your child. If you've prayed along with me this morning, I know that God has heard you. His word says that He has. And you're going to begin to work with the Lord, and He'll show you His good pleasure. Father in heaven, we ask also that you'd work in all of our lives, that we would be obedient to your word and take heed to these exhortations. In Jesus' name, amen.